Welcome to The Big Why, a series from Montana Public Radio where we find out what we can discover together. I'm your host, Austin Amestoy. This is a show about listener-powered reporting. We'll answer questions, large or small, about anything under the big sky. By Montanans, for Montana, this is The Big Why. If you live in Montana, you've heard them thundering by. Trains and rail lines built the state as we know it today. But it's what happens to the rails after those trains are no longer running that prompted this episode. Joining me to talk about it is MTPR producer Nick Mott. Great to have you here, Nick.
It's good to be back, and what do you know, a second episode about trains.
One was never enough, Nick. Our question today comes from Missoula resident Damon Cott. He's an electrician who grew up in Butte.
I'm interested in learning what becomes of rail lines and their associated right-of-ways when they're no longer in use.
Cott told me he was particularly interested in what might happen to the Bitterroot branch line, which runs from Missoula to Darby and has been dormant for years. As it so happened, he said he was working on a job right next to the historic Milwaukee station in Great Falls when I called him.
Which isn't a train station anymore. It's a apartment complex and business thing that they're doing here.
Ah, an old train station. How fitting for his question.
I couldn't agree more. That station, Nick, was linked to the Milwaukee Road, one of the most significant passenger and freight lines that ran through Montana during the 1900s. It carried thousands of people across the state on a line running from Chicago all the way to Seattle. It also happens to be one of the best examples of what can happen when a rail line is abandoned.
I take it that's where this story begins.
You guessed it. Let me take you about 160 miles west of Great Falls to a building that looks an awful lot like the one Damon Cott was talking about.
Oh, the towers. I've always felt this one's too high architecturally.
That's Bill Taylor. He's a Montana rail historian, and he's pointing up at the tall brick tower of the former Milwaukee Depot in Missoula. It kind of resembles a castle with Spanish roof tiles, and it sits right alongside the Clark Fork River. So, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Tell me what we're looking at right now, where we're standing.
You'd be right square in the middle of the Milwaukee Road main line that went down the second abutment on Bear Tracks Bridge.
Huh, but you said the Milwaukee Road was abandoned. Are the tracks still there?
Well, where we were standing, no, they aren't. Instead, there's a long trail that runs right along the river where the tracks used to be.
But what actually happened to the Milwaukee Road? Like, why would a railroad abandon an entire line?
That's an important question, Nick, and Taylor helped answer it with a crash course in Montana rail history inside the Milwaukee Depot. He says rail was essential to Montana's industrial development. It brought people here, yes, but also helped those people get their products to buyers around the country. Think lumber, coal, copper, and grain. Taylor puts it this way.
If we take a modern analogy, everybody has a business now, wants to be online. You have to have an online presence. Same thing was true in 1883. If you weren't on the railroad, you didn't survive.
By the 1900s, several transcontinental lines ran through the state. And in order to reach customers where they made their product, the railroads had to build branch lines off the main routes and into surrounding communities. Taylor says that made economic sense back when trains were the only long-range transportation game in town, but that changed.
Nowadays, they've given that up to the truckers because the truckers can do that so much more economically and quickly than the railroad can.
Yeah, I get that. Railroads would only want to keep a line if they can actually make money off it.
Exactly. In 1980, Congress significantly deregulated the rail industry. Taylor says that made it much easier for railroads to formally abandon lines. The Milwaukee Road had been struggling financially for decades at that point and declared bankruptcy in 1977. A few years later, it formally abandoned its Pacific Extension from Miles City, Montana to Renton, Washington.
So that was the end of rail traffic on the Milwaukee Road, but not the end of its story altogether, right?
That's right. Some of the line the railroad followed, especially where it ran through communities, has since been converted to walking and biking trails. In fact, a trail is maybe the most common second life for an abandoned rail line. That's because other entities can acquire the railroad's so-called right-of-way, or the little path it uses to cut through private property. That includes the Milwaukee Trail, which runs right along the Clark Fork River in Missoula. Today, it's highly trafficked by residents and recreationists alike. Bill Taylor says trails like this one represent something of a trade-off, using property that once generated economic capital to generate social capital instead.
better for Missoula, not necessarily better money producer, but better for quality of life in Missoula, 100%, I think.
Maybe the most famous stretch of the old Milwaukee Road that turned into a trail is the Route of the Hiawatha. It's a 15-mile stretch of the railroad that crosses the Bitterroot Mountains on the Idaho-Montana border.
I've heard about that route for years, and I've wanted to bike it, but I've still never actually been. Is it easy turning an old rail line into a trail?
Well, generally, Nick, no, it is not. The process often involves negotiations between the rail company that owns the line, organizations seeking to transform it, the federal government, and plenty of lawyers. But it's gotten a bit easier through the years, thanks in large part to the Rails to Trails Conservancy. The Conservancy's policy director, Eric Oberg, told me its founders were worried about what would happen to the long stretches of track being abandoned during the 1980s.
They thought about, you know, what's the best way to try to preserve these really important connections between communities?
Today, the Conservancy gives local organizations the tools to navigate that web of policy and convert abandoned lines into trails. It says there's now more than 25,000 miles of rail trail across the U.S.
What kind of work have they done here in Montana?
Well, a fair amount of work, Nick. Rails to Trails has worked on projects near Butte, Manhattan and Belgrade, and Livingston. Their moonshot, though, is what they call the Great American Rail Trail, essentially one interconnected trail that crosses the country from Maryland to Seattle.
Wow, that's super ambitious. But I'm still thinking about the second part of our listener Damon Cott's question, about what might happen to the old train line that runs from Missoula down to Darby. Did you get to the bottom of that one?
Well, partially, Nick, and this is the last issue I really wanted to hit on. One thing I learned very quickly while reporting this episode is there's often no good way to tell if a rail line is actually abandoned just by looking at it.
So that old Bitterroot branch line hasn't seen a train in years, but it's not actually abandoned?
No, it's not. That track used to serve timber mills in the valley, and it went largely dormant in the 90s. But the line is listed as inactive by the State Transportation Department, a key distinction. That means it's still owned by Montana Rail Link and is private property.
Interesting. Some railroads choose to abandon and sell their lines, and others hold on to them. But why keep a line if you're not using it?
Experts told me the reasons for that are numerous and often complicated, but one of the biggest is just holding on to that land for potential reactivation in the future. During the nation's westward expansion, the federal government granted railroads more than 100 million acres of land to build their lines. Today, a lot of those rail lines run through complex patchworks of private property. Once that line is gone, it would be incredibly difficult to piece it back together.
Right, that does make sense, but one last thing. Did you find out if Montana Rail Link has any plans for that old line in the Bitterroot?
You know, I did my best, Nick, but I just don't know. I reached out to Montana Rail Link and BNSF for comment on this story, but neither company got back to me.
Well, Austin, thank you so much for taking us along the rail trail.
Anytime, Nick. Now we want to know what makes you curious about Montana. You can submit your questions online at bigy.org. Find us wherever you listen to podcasts and help others find the show by sharing it and leaving us a review. Let's see what we can discover together.